If you've got a mobile phone, can you please put it on silent? And can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the gallery? On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I have officers from the Law and Governance Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes. I'll indicate when you have 1 minute left to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for up to 5 minutes. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded they do not enjoy any immunity as enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. We can now move on to the agenda. Item one is to approve the minutes. Approve the minutes of the meeting on the 4th of September. Are these agreed? Item two is apologies.
Councillors McEwen and Phillips and Councillor Spencer, who substituted by Councillor Pearce.
Thank you. Declaration of members' interests or lobbying. I have received emails from the first application we're dealing with, but it will not affect my decision.
Obviously, the same.
Likewise.
I
take it everywhere else, yeah. Okay. Moving on, item four, delegated applications. These have been circulated, will they? Yeah. Okay, item five, we move on now to planning applications. The first one is 22/35582/4. I'll hand it over to the officers to present this.
Thank you. This application seeks permission for the demolition of two vacant care homes and the redevelopment of the site to provide a new care home with access improvements, parking provision and landscaping. The location plan shows the extent of the site outlined in red. The site is a 0.44 hectares in area and is to the west of Rowley Bank in Stafford. The site contains two large detached Victorian villas which have been extended and altered to form care homes. These have been vacant for a number of years. And an aerial view of the site. The site is predominantly surrounded by residential properties. Immediately to the south, there is another care home. The site contains a number of trees along the eastern boundary, some of which are subject to tree preservation orders. A number of trees within the site have been removed with consent. The photo plan shows the location of the following photos. Image one shows the front elevation of number 48. Image two is looking towards the road along the northern boundary and shows the relationship with the neighbouring dwelling number 50. Image three is looking across the site towards number 47. Image four shows the side elevation of number 48. Image five shows the front elevation of number 47. Image six is looking across the site towards number 48. Image seven shows the southern boundary with a neighbouring care home. Image eight is looking towards number 47 from the road. You can see the matron trees along the frontage. Image nine is looking north along the road and shows the tree belt along the frontage. Image 10 is looking towards the road, from the road towards number 48. Plan 1 shows the proposed site plan. The plan, the red outline is the existing buildings to be demolished. Here and here. The existing accesses would be utilised to provide a one-way system through the site with the entrance here and the exit here. 40 parking spaces would be provided within the site including an ambulance bay and cycle parking. The tree belt to the front would be retained and additional landscaping provided to the boundaries. There'd be a garden area to the rear for residents. Plan 2 shows the front and south side elevation. The building would be predominantly two-storey. The dashed line at the top here shows the height of the originally proposed scheme, which was amended during the determination of the application. Plan 3 shows the rear and north side elevations. Plan 4 shows a street scene elevation with the building sat between the neighbouring care home and the dwellings. Plan 5 shows the ground floor plan. The care home would have 62 bedrooms and facilities including a cafe, library and cinema across the two floors. Plan 6 shows the first floor. Plan 7 shows the partial second floor in the roof space, which provides plant rooms and staff facilities. Plan 8 shows the roof plan with proposed solar panels. And Plan 9 is the proposed landscaping scheme. The scheme would provide additional extra care beds within a sustainable location. The development would provide additional jobs and subsequently support the local economy. The proposal is therefore acceptable in principle. The layout and design of the care home have been amended during the determination of the application. The resultant layout, massing and design is considered to be acceptable and would sit comfortably within the street scene. The existing Victorian villas are considered to be non-designated heritage assets due to their local historic and architectural interest. The Conservation Officer has objected to the demolition of these buildings. It is regrettable that the proposal would result in the loss of the villas. In order to mitigate the loss, a building recording should be secured by a condition. The proposal is not considered to impact on the amenity of existing residents and would provide sufficient amenity for future residents of the care home. The vehicle access arrangements are considered to be acceptable with regards to highway safety, and a condition is recommended to secure a revised access plan to ensure that the in-site pedestrian path connects suitably to the public footpath. The proposed car park is considered to be acceptable, subject to securing travel plan and car parking management plan via condition. The Highways Authority have recommended that a traffic regulation order is secured via legal agreement to allow the county to explore the possibility of implementing parking restrictions along Rowley Bank. The applicant is agreeable to this. The scheme is considered to be acceptable with regards to drainage and flood risk. The proposal was amended during the determination to reduce the impact upon the trees, especially the frontage tree belt, which is visually important. The scheme is now considered to be acceptable with regards to arboriculture, and the proposed landscaping is considered to be exception principle. A detailed landscaping scheme would be secured by a condition. The proposal is considered to be acceptable with regards to ecology, subject to adhering to conditions with regards to methods of working and replacement habitat, and the scheme would not impact upon the Canning Chase SAC. In conclusion, the overall benefits of the scheme are considered to outweigh the loss of the non-designated heritage assets. The application is therefore recommended for approval, subject to the conditions listed and the signing of a legal agreement to secure a travel plan monitoring fee and a traffic regulation order contribution. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have a speaker in support of this, Mr. Adrian Kearley. You have 3 minutes and I'll indicate when you have 1 minute left. Start when you wish.
Thank you, Chairman and members. I'm speaking on behalf of Avery Healthcare, a leading national care home operator who already run the very successful scheme at Crispin Court in Stafford. This proposal will deliver many important local benefits. It will regenerate underutilised and vacant land in a highly sustainable location. It will address a critical local need for additional care home provision. The local plan outlines a need for over 900 new bed spaces. It will allow the site to retain its established care home use and its local community function. It will be an exemplar in providing support and care for frail older residents with significant care needs, including dementia. It will provide jobs for local people, up to 60 jobs in total, but with approximately 20 staff on site at any one time. And it will contribute to the council's 5-year housing land supply and release much needed housing, including family homes, as residents downsize. As a future long-term neighbour, Avery have worked tirelessly with your officers and local communities over the past 3 years in progressing the scheme. Following a public consultation event, substantial revisions were made, including a reduction in the capacity, footprint, floor space and height of the building to 2 storeys only, increased separation distances, changes to the elevations and a marked increase in parking. While the scheme has been called to committee tonight, the number of consultation responses to the revised proposal is very limited. There are no statutory controls over the demolition of the existing buildings, and Avery has demonstrated that it's not operationally or financially viable for their conversion to meet the standards set by the Care Quality Commission. The former care home operator, Abbey Field, reached the same conclusion. The new home will be a high quality and sympathetic replacement and will sit comfortably within its large plot and enhance the character of the area. The building's articulated through varied roof heights and a staggered building line, and the design is influenced by its surroundings. The proposal retains the existing protected trees and introduces new landscaping and biodiversity. The siting and orientation of the building protects
you have
residential
1 minute
community. Thank you. The nearest facing windows are over 30 metres from the houses to the rear, well above the council's minimum standards. To the north and south, there is no direct overlooking to the adjoining house or care home and its gardens. The level of parking is significant and has increased to 40 spaces. This is higher than on any other Avery care home, notwithstanding the site's sustainable location, and allows for a surplus even at times of peak demand. By comparison, Avery's scheme at Crispin Court has 23 spaces for a larger care home. The proposal will not therefore increase pressure for off-street parking and is supported by the Highways Authority. All other environmental matters relating to drainage, trees, ecology and noise have been addressed within the submission and agreed with the consultees. We welcome your officer's positive recommendation and hope you can support this application. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Does the board member wish to speak?
Yes.
You have 5 minutes and I'll indicate when you have one left.
Doug Rooksell, I'm the ward member for Rowley Ward. Speaking on behalf of residents who have spoken directly to me, who have made representations throughout the consultation process, I think there's a number of points that have been made. I think they're important to highlight to the committee. The proposals do represent an increase in density for the local area. This would lead to a shift from the historic character of the area, one made up of single family detached homes. Albeit large in some cases, this proposal has a large, essentially commercial building with a substantially larger footprint than any other property of the locality. While some design features designed to break up how the building looks, fundamentally it remains a substantial building in an area made up of primarily significantly smaller buildings. In addition to this, I wanted to highlight the loss of these buildings as heritage assets, as has been discussed. They're from the few remaining buildings from the late 19th century and is part of Stafford, and whilst the buildings have been altered since their original construction, they still can hold a significant cultural heritage value, in particular for the decorative Victorian architectural features. It's clear that the application would harm the historic fabric of the town by demolishing these heritage assets. I would urge the committee to take this into consideration. I want to acknowledge that the applicant has made substantial movement on the provision of parking on the site, which was a very important point raised throughout the consultation process from residents, and I support the proposal for car parking management plan to ensure that particularly the tandem spaces that are proposed are utilised and don't have a detrimental impact on the actual number of parking spaces. Fully support the Highway Authority recommendation for a contribution to explore a parking traffic regulation order on Rowley Bank, which would alleviate some of the safety concerns which raised by residents. Finally, the work is being proposed to be done in close proximity to a number of homes, and I think it's important to highlight the impact of the work being proposed on the people living nearby. Demolition is messy. Clear communication of the homeowners living nearby is needed around what they should be expecting and when, so that they can plan accordingly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Rockford. I'll open it up to the meeting now for discussion. Anyone like to? Okay. Councillor Pearce?
Just a couple of questions to begin with, Chair. In a later application, there's reference to the provision of swift boxes. Has this been considered for this development?
Okay. Hang on. So section 11 of the report refers to ecology. The submitted preliminary ecology appraisal does provide recommendations for future enhancements for habitat, including bird boxes. There is a condition, let me get to that page. Condition 7 requires details prior to the demolition of the buildings of ecological mitigation and enhancements to be provided to us, and a timetable of when they will be delivered. So bird boxes will be included in that.
Yeah, I think I said swift boxes, didn't I? Swift bricks is what I meant. That would have to be built into the building. Can we ask that when this detailed plan is considered, that swift bricks are requested to be included in that list?
Do you want to add it into the condition?
I would propose that.
Is that something we can include?
It could be added in.
Yeah. Councillor Jones?
I don't really understand what a swift brick is. Could be explained.
Could you elaborate, Councillor, please?
Yes, it's a feature within the brickwork which allows for swifts to nest within the building, and was often there simply by the way buildings were designed in the past, but in current buildings it isn't, and that's why they are now being included in many buildings.
Thank you.
As I say, it's a later application. It is something that's referred to and included as a requirement.
Just to confirm, Councillor, the applicant has agreed for the provision of swift bricks.
Ah, right.
So okay. We can incorporate that into the condition.
Okay. Councillor Ford.
Thanks, Chair. I had two reservations about the scheme. The first was relating to the loss of the non-designated heritage assets, but I note the officers consider the benefits of the development to outweigh the loss. And quote recent appeals that had similarities, which would support that decision. I also have concerns over the design, but I note paragraph 5.3, which says that the resultant scheme, whilst large, is considered to sit comfortably within the street scene. The varied roof heights and staggered frontage break up the visual impact of the building. So I think on balance, I'm satisfied on that one. The second related to the need for a care home in that location. But I note the development conforms to the local plan in terms of policies C3 and SP7, I think, and Stafford 1. So I think that reservation has gone as well as far as I'm concerned. So on balance, I'd be inclined to support.
Do we have a proposal of anyone?
I have another question.
Oh, yes, Councillor Pearce.
So, which is that, as I recall, there is at the front of this building, near to the frontage, what I suppose would be called a folly, a Victorian folly, if you like, building, looking like a ruin, if you like. I didn't find any reference to it. I just wondered if that is to be retained or not.
So from the proposed site plan, it's not shown to be retained. The recommended condition regarding building recording would include the recording of that folly. So we'd have details of it going forward if it is removed.
I think it would be sad for a feature like that to be lost. It is part of the character of that area.
The retention of it would then impact the proposed layout.
Well, I'll make my comments then, Chair, that I find it difficult to support the application. I can see the logic of it, certainly. One of the problems, of course, is that nationally we don't have a requirement to take into account the extra carbon emitted when demolition takes place and rebuilding occurs, and that is very substantial, and in my view should be, but it's not, because of the lack of national guidance on that. It's something that we can take into account. There is also, of course, the financial incentive that if you build afresh, there is no VAT, and whereas if you convert a building, you have to pay VAT on it, which, to my view, is totally and utterly wrong. But again, it's not something within our control. But my main concern is with the buildings themselves and the street scene, if you like. Because although the neighbouring buildings are not necessarily not Victorian, they are early 20th century, and it is in keeping, the existing buildings are more in keeping with the buildings that are neighbouring, albeit that they are single dwelling houses. And then also the concerns expressed by the conservation officer about the loss of the existing buildings and the design of the proposed building, or certain aspects of that. So I think at the end of the day I probably will have to support the application, but it is with a very heavy heart, because I think it is a bad move. I think from the point of view of the environment of that area, it is going to be a loss.
Well, we know your concerns, Councillor Pearce. Councillor Jones?
It's a basic question, really. I missed it. How long have the buildings that are there now been empty? Do we know?
Can we?
Yeah, could the applicant
clarify? 5 years.
So they've been sitting there empty for 5 years. Thank you.
Gareth, did you want to speak? We have a move to approve. Do we have a seconder?
Sorry, Chair, just through you, Chair. So Councillor Pearce put an amendment forward to add a condition for the swift bricks. Does anyone, that would need to be seconded if it was to go ahead and then voted on before any approval for the actual application. So does anybody want to second that?
I'm happy to second that.
Okay.
Now I know what they are.
I think we were imagining, Chairman, they were bricks that were fast.
We have a proposal and a seconder then, with that condition.
All those in favour of the condition.
Right, that was for the condition.
Yes.
And now we have a proposal for the application.
Well,
Councillor Foran. Is that seconded? Councillor Jones. All those in favour? Approved. Thank you. We move on now to application 23/384/56 OUT. Land off the rise, walking on the hill.
This application seeks outline consent with access for the development of 5 dwellings. All other matters are reserved. Please note that the agenda was originally published incorrectly, stating that the call-in was by Councillor A.P. Edgler. This has now been corrected to Councillor P.C. Edgler. The location plan shows the extent of the site outlined in red. The site is located to the south of the rise, close to the junction with the A513 in Stafford. The site is currently grassed and is used as an informal footpath linking the rise with Selworthy Drive. There is a protected yew tree within the western portion of the site. The site is predominantly surrounded by residential properties. Immediately to the east is a church, beyond which is Walton High School. There is a car garage opposite the site. The photo plan shows the location of the following photos. Image 1 is looking towards the site from the rise. Image 2 is looking from the west. Image 3 is looking from the east. and image 4 is from the rear of the site looking towards the road. You can see that the land levels rise to the west and south and the informal footpath running through the site. Plan 2 shows the site plan with the proposed access from the north of the site. Plan 2 shows the tree constraints plan. T2 here is the protected yew tree. Plan 3 is an indicative plan showing how the site could be developed, providing sufficient space for the trees and a footpath link through the site. The scheme was originally proposed as 6 dwellings, however was amended during the determination of the application to admit 1 dwelling. The site is located within a sustainable location within Stafford settlement boundary. The land was previously identified by the County Council as within a possible route for Stafford's eastern bypass. That scheme has now been abandoned and the land is surplus to the County Council's requirements. The land is not allocated within the development plan for highway improvements nor as open space. The development is acceptable in principle. The proposed access is not considered to cause major highway safety issues nor impact upon road users or pedestrians. The exact details of the access would be secured by a condition, and a condition is recommended to secure a footpath link through the site. The proposal, subject to conditions, is not considered to negatively impact upon ecology, flooding or drainage. Whilst layout, appearance, scale and landscaping would be assessed at reserve matters stage, the indicative layout demonstrates that the site is large enough to accommodate the proposed quantum of development, whilst providing suitable amenity for both surrounding residents and future occupiers, and sufficient space to not detrimentally impact upon trees. In conclusion, the proposal is considered to be acceptable and the application is recommended for approval, subject to conditions and the signing of a unilateral undertaking with regards to the Cannock Chase SAC. Thank you.
Thank you for that. We have one speaker, Mrs. Wilson. If you'd like to start, you have 3 minutes and I'll indicate when you have 1 minute left.
Good evening, councillors. Thank you for allowing me to address the committee. My name's Kim Wilson and I represent Forefront Development Consultants, who are the agents acting for Staffordshire County Council, the site owners. This application is in outline form with only access included for determination at this time. However, indicative plans show how the site could develop for 5 new houses. A vehicular access would lie in the middle of the site frontage, and the new access will be wide enough for 2 vehicles to pass each other. The Highway Authority have no concerns about this. The site includes a protected tree, which would be retained. The site has an informal footpath link leading to Selworthy Drive to the south. This would be retained and formalised. The site lies within the built-up area of Stafford, where there is a presumption in favour of new residential development. No substantive biodiversity issues arise, and a contribution to the special area of conservation area is proposed. No flooding problems exist, and drainage concerns expressed by local residents can be addressed at a detailed stage. The site has had consent in the past for residential development. The agents have worked with your planning officers to overcome concerns. For example, the number of houses has been reduced from 6 to 5. The indicative layout plan has been changed to meet the tree officer concerns, and additional biodiversity investigations have been carried out. The council's design advisor has identified the site's location as a transition zone between the 3 residential character areas. Your officers suggest that a low density scheme would not be an efficient use of land, so it's recommended for approval. I hope that you will agree. The suggested conditions will satisfy the concerns expressed. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Councillor Edgula, do you want to speak on the matter?
Thank you.
You may go back to the gallery.
Good evening, everybody.
You have 5 minutes, Peter. I'll indicate when you have 1 left.
My name is Peter Edgell. I am the ward borough councillor for this particular area where this site is located. And looking at the observations of the paperwork that's come through so far, most of the proposals are all in the air at the moment. None of them being confirmed as such, except the fact that they are going to place up to 5 houses in this particular area. My problem with it, in fact, is that no real address has been made in that fact with the impact of that's what it's going to make on the public, on the, in terms of children of Walton School. The access area for this particular venue is in fact directly onto the pathway that the children who walk to school every morning and walk back every afternoon, in fact, crosses their path. We're talking about cars, maybe up to 10 cars in this particular area, wanting to come in and out at peak times at the same time that children are trying to get to school. Now, I have seen in my own eyes the way that children sometimes react when they see their friends, when mum is just dropping them off to school. I've seen them open the door, run across the road without even wondering if there's any cars or anything coming. One's got to take into effect that the Rise is one of two major roads that serve Walton. Those two major roads, one taking it onto the Gallop Road and this one taking it onto the Milford and Stafford Road. Those two roads now deal with a far greater number of houses that now have been built in Walton itself that have to get out to their individual jobs, etc. So the roads of this particular road, the Rise, has a double problem in terms of being the school being there, that people are coming dropping off kids when people are trying to get out of Walton at the same time. And they come down to the bottom of the road and they try to get onto the main Milford Road, which again is another problem aspect. Now, I see this particular development not as an opposing of the actual buildings of five houses, but the fact that getting those five houses there could leave a situation where we're opening up the danger of harm to the children of Walton School by having a double entrance for cars to come in and out there, right on the very edge of that joint to the Sandon Road. It is not practical in human terms to be able to do that. It's wrong. It's also going to be in an area which they're talking about, which has had problems in terms of flooding down at the bottom, where in fact the entrance is going to be. When the next door neighbour to them has had in fact sewerage come backing up into her garden, it has not been without its problems in that direction. But my main objection to this is the possible loss of life to a child because they don't look carefully enough and they are having cars coming at them from left, right and centre. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Vestal. Councillor Ford.
Yeah, I have three questions for the officers for clarification, the first relates to pavement and relates to Councillor Regula's concern. I think I read in the proposal that there would be pavement supplied. Is that a 2 metre pavement? Isn't that correct? Or have I misunderstood that? Because I can understand that it could be a concern with a lot of pedestrian traffic, particularly children, but I'm sure there was a condition relating to pavement.
Yeah, I can respond to that. So condition 11 is where you found the 2 metre wide footpath link, and that is meaning through the site, from the Rise to Selworthy Drive, to ensure that there is a pedestrian link through the site.
Okay, my second question relates to that footpath link. And it's good to see that there because I felt that there was a danger of it being lost. But is that black bar at the bottom of the picture running kind of south-south-east, is that the footpath?
So on this indicative layout, that is the footpath, yes. But this is only indicative.
It's just slightly strange that you'd have to walk down and then turn right, then turn left. There must be a reason for that.
This is only an indicative plan to show how it could be.
So there
it's
is
not the
flexibility
final plan.
To oh, consider course. That at a later stage.
Yeah, that would be considered at reserve matter stage.
And the final one is the numbers of houses. Is there flexibility on that as well? I mean, if a planning app, they come through with a desire for six or a desire for four or we think five isn't going to work. Is there flexibility to consider that, or are we really, sorry, nearly finished, are we really tying ourselves into that five?
So condition nine states that there'll be no more than five dwellings developed on the site.
Okay.
If the developer wanted to come with less than five, that is up to them.
Okay, thank you very much.
Anyone else? A comment? Councillor Pearce?
Well, the ward member has raised certain matters about, well, effectively it's highways issues, I suppose. So I think it would be appropriate for the officer to at least respond to those issues.
Do you have any comments on the...
Yeah, of course.
From what the highways department has said.
Yeah, so section 6 of the report refers to access parking and highway safety. Paragraph 6.4 states that the highway authority raised no objections to the proposed access and advised that the sufficient visibility displays can be provided. The recommended conditions. Condition 5 requires the exact details of the access to be provided, including visibility displays of the required distances. So they would be secured before the development commences to ensure that it is safe. And then condition 8 is the construction management plan, and part C of that condition requires delivery times during construction to avoid school start and finish times. The details of that construction environmental management plan would be agreed with the highways authority before being approved, so we would ensure that highway safety is considered during the construction phase.
Anyone else? Councillor Pearce again?
Chair, my understanding is that we have to accept the advice of the County Highways Department, even where we ourselves believe that advice not to be correct. So again, it rather seems to me that, albeit we may have concerns, that we have little choice but to approve, in effect.
Does anyone else wish to comment? Do we have a proposal to approve?
Well, no one else is going to, I should.
Okay, Councillor Ford, do we have a seconder? Councillor Sandiford. Okay, all those in favour, please show. So we have four. Those against?
Abstention.
Yeah, one abstention. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for that. Right, moving on. Application 23/38459/4 in the Shropshire Inn, Newport Road, Corleton. Richard.
Thanks, Chairman. Evening members. This application proposes the demolition of the existing public house and associated outbuildings and the erection of two bungalows and a detached garage. You'll see the site in red on the screen here, and it also includes this green area. In terms of procedural matters, can I just draw members' attention to the recommendation on page 50, which states approved subject to conditions. There's a slight conflict with that on page 55 of paragraph 7.4, which refers to a planning obligation being required to secure a financial contribution towards mitigation measures for the Connacht Chase SAC. For clarification now, the financial contribution has now been received. So if members were minded to approve the application, it would be as set out on page 50. So it would be approved subject to the conditions listed. So you'll see on the aerial This is the public house. This is the 518. And it's got a quite expansive car park to the rear. And this is the kind of grass area. Access is through here. The applicant also own the field down here, but that's not, that doesn't form part of this application. You'll see from the report that the development is considered to be acceptable in terms of its location, and the replacement of the existing car park with a garden area actually results in a betterment in visual amenity terms, which is further secured by the removal of permitted development rights for plot one. The overall form of the bungalows is considered to be acceptable and would actually add in providing a mix of housing types in the area. I'll just run through the presentation. So we have seven photographs. First two are taken from the highway, and then the cluster on the rear of the site. So this is looking west across the frontage of the public house. And you'll see this is the entrance, and you can see a for sale sign here. This is looking in the opposite direction. This is looking from the car park to the rear, which is the pub, with the associated outbuildings. This is looking in the opposite direction, so this is the boundary of the site, with the fencing, with the field to the rear. And this is looking down the western boundary of the site, towards the access, with the 518 Newport Road. And finally, this is looking at the south east portion of the site. This gives you an idea of the nature of the surrounding properties on the Newport Road. The application site is shown in the red edge here with the associated visibility displays, with the field owned by the applicant in blue. This is the proposed layout of the plan. So you have plot two, plot one, two car parking spaces to serve plot two, and a car parking space here with a detached garage to serve plot one. The settlement boundary for Horton runs along this line here. So the garden area and half of the garage would actually be, in technical terms, outside the settlement boundary. But given its nature as a car park already, would be considered as being previously developed land, and on that basis, the proposal is considered to be acceptable in policy terms. This is the existing elevations, and here you have the two bungalow types with the detached garage. If I just take you back up to the layout plan. So in terms of residential amenity, no issues are raised given that all the principal windows would be at ground floor level, and therefore any impacts of overlooking etc. will be mitigated by boundary screening and fencing etc. However, in relation to paragraph 3.4 on page 53, I would suggest that we recommend, if members of the committee are minded to approve the application, to remove other permitted development rights. So if I just give you the scenario here, so we have two principal windows here, one here and one here, and a principal window here to a bedroom. So at ground floor, that works because of the intervening boundary fencing. But if a dormer window was to be put here under permitted development rights, this would then afford views into this window here. And similarly, if a dormer window was to be put here, This would allow overlooking of the neighbour, the timbers. And equally, if a window was to be put above ground floor level in this gable elevation here, this would then afford overlooking of the principal windows on the rear elevation of plot two. So what I would suggest is that we recommend further PD removal in relation to any roof alterations to secure adequate levels of residential amenity. No other concerns are raised in terms of highways or ecology or trees. Therefore, the recommendation is to approve, subject to the conditions listed, and I would also suggest two additional conditions to remove those further permitted development rights. Thank you.
Thank you for that. We have one speaker in support, Mr. Mosig. You have 3 minutes from when you start, and I'll indicate when you have 1 minute left.
Good evening. My name is Chris Mosig of Barnet Ratcliffe Partnership, and we are the agents on this application, acting on behalf of Stuart and Janet Blackley, the owners of the Shropshire Inn. Mr. Blackley has asked us to reiterate the justification for the development by raising a few points on the failing business.
Chairman, could you ask the gentleman to speak up a little first?
Could we speak up a little?
Mr. Blackley has asked us to reiterate the justification for the development by raising a few points on the failing business. So once a thriving pub, taking in over £30,000 per week, the Shropshire Inn now only takes in around £600 per week, with a few days in recent months bringing in less than £70. Visitor numbers continue to dwindle, with approximately 5 to 6 visitors a day, Monday to Thursday, 20 on a Friday, and 10 on Saturdays to Sundays. As such, the already limited opening hours have been reduced further, with closing time brought forward to 8 p.m, as there is generally no custom beyond this time. The pub has been marketed for sale since 2017 by 3 different agents, but has yet to receive any interest or offers, despite considerable reductions from the original price. The pub is running at a considerable loss, despite Mr. and Mrs. Blackley being the only staff, and the likelihood is the Shropshire Inn will close imminently, regardless of whether the current planning application for 2 new dwellings is approved or not. The loss of the Shropshire Inn would of course be a shame, but given the Ballot Inn is open in a more central location, the residents of Horton will still have a pub to frequent. We ask that you support the application, given the site and new lease of life. Thank you, Tara.
Thank you for that. Does the ward councillor wish to speak?
Yes. So this planning application was called in by my ward partner Emma Carter, but it was supported by myself as well. One of the concerns raised by the local parish council was the double bungalow leaking over onto outside the boundary. And they were just concerned that it would lead to further development in this area. But obviously, I think that has been addressed briefly, but we just want to make sure that there is stronger clauses in that, just to make sure that there is no further development outside of the Horton boundary. Another personal concern, although it's not strictly on this, is the fact that it's just the loss of another pub in the local area, which is obviously a shame to see. Obviously, I understand financial issues with the actual pub itself. I do understand that, you know, most pubs have been struggling in recent years, and obviously there is another pub in the village, but it was a shame to see the building itself go, and it's a shame it couldn't just be converted for residential purposes and the bungalow perhaps built in the car park itself rather than the actual demolition of the building. As raised earlier, the actual environmental impact of demolishing the building and rebuilding from new materials is quite extensive. I know that survey has already been carried out, so that's not necessarily also going to impact, but just the wider effects of the demolition and reconstruction of the building is to be taken into account, essentially, and obviously that it doesn't lead to further development outside of the village boundary. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. Councillor Forden.
Thanks, Chair. So I understand the desire to change use of land, move on from there. My concern is over building across the settlement boundary, which I think we've heard is being done via half of a double garage And there's something else built onto the side of the house, I think. And I'd like the officers to explain to us, is that not setting a precedent, or has that precedent already been set? And what might the impact be elsewhere important to Councillor Rose's comment? Because this isn't this policy C5, for exception?
This is... Policy C5 deals with residential development outside assessment boundaries.
Yeah.
So in terms of the two footprints of these houses, that is policy compliant because it's within assessment boundary. Now, if I just take it back to the aerial, so the settlement boundary runs approximately across here.
Yeah.
So, whilst this is open countryside, technically, in policy terms, it's already been built on. So, in terms of the definition under the National Planning Policy Framework, it's previously developed land. So, that does add weight to the development of this portion of land in association with this proposal. Now, you'll see it from condition 15 on page 63. that removes permitted development rights for any enlargements of the house to the south, to the beyond this side elevation here, and for any other outbuildings. And the garden area would replace the existing hard standing, and therefore in visual amenity terms would actually result in a betterment. So whilst there's a slight encroachment here, because the land is previously developed, we consider that to be a fair trade-off. But we have taken away those other rights for any further outbuildings which you could normally build within a residential curtilage.
Through you, Chair, my question is, I understand what you've done. You've taken away the PR.
Yeah, this wouldn't result in a precedent or an undesirable precedent, because the actual residential, the bulk of the scheme is within the settlement boundary. If we thought as officers that this would result in an undesirable precedent with a policy conflict against residential policy, we would be recommending refusal.
So if somebody comes in with an application to build on that garden area,
we would refuse it because it's outside the settlement boundary, and it would be a new residential unit outside the settlement boundary. This is just an association with the dwelling within the settlement boundary.
Are you satisfied with that, Councillor Foole?
Yeah, I think I have to be.
Councillor Pearce.
Thank you. A couple of things. Firstly, that my recollection of this these premises is that they were mainly a restaurant, in effect, up until 12 months or so ago, perhaps 2 years now. And the main argument that's been put forward is the declining trade, if you like, but they stopped operating it as a restaurant. So it was entirely predictable that the income of the building would go down. And that was a decision taken by the management. Not entirely surprised that they're in the situation they're in. The second point I want to raise is with regard to the building itself, because I don't know how old the building is. I'm sure parts of it must be quite old, I don't know. I was a little surprised there wasn't any reference, any report from the conservation officer. But I don't know, as I say, I don't know the building itself, whether it's mainly new, or if there are parts which are older. If the officer could assist with that, I'd be grateful.
From my personal point of view, my personal knowledge, and I don't have the planning history of this site. As you can see from the photographs,
looks quite
modern from the frontage. Yeah. It's not within a conservation area or the designated designation, policy designation as such. Because the pub is within the settlement boundary, you don't have to demonstrate that it can be demolished and then something else rebuilt. If this was outside the settlement boundary and you were looking at a replacement, you would then have to meet the test that the building isn't structurally sound for conversion. That's not a relevant test in this case. This is just an infill site, basically.
Councillor Jones.
Have you finished? I think reading this, I've been thrust by the comments of the Parish Council. Parish Council doesn't seem to be concerned with the loss of mobility. The concern is more in relation to the siting, etc. The figures that have been quoted are very dramatic. You can't ignore the fact that there are very serious economic consequences in relation to the owners. My feeling is that, bearing in mind that the community doesn't appear, you know, we considered the closure of a pub fairly close to this, nearer to Newport, which there was a lot of objection to. This, there doesn't appear to be, reading through this, that there is an objection, and our recommendation would be to support this application.
Does anyone else want to comment or even second that? Anyone want to second the proposal? Is that a proposal then, Councillor Jones?
Yes.
Chair, through you, Chair, can we just confirm that Councillor Jones is proposing that including the addition of the two new conditions?
Oh, yes, about the window, the roof.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, with that, yeah.
I'll second that.
Councillor Jones seconds Councillor Jones.
Sorry, I was waiting for you to do something.
All those in favour, please show. Three. Against. Two abstentions. It's carried. Okay, thank you for that. Moving on the agenda now. Planning appeals. Does anyone wish to comment on the planning appeals at the back of the agenda?
I'm third one down. Ford Rock. I'm going to regret asking. Advise works on a PD. What does PD mean? Just
Liberty Development, I believe.
Yeah, that's it. Something I've forgotten. I'll say. Thank you.
Any other comments?
No.
There's nothing down for enforcement matters.
No.
There is one other thing though. There's potentially a change to the special planning committee meeting on the 15th of October. One of the applications might not be taken to committee on that day. If this was to happen, the meeting start time would be brought forward to 12:30, but it will be confirmed when the agenda's put out.
Chairman, the bus will still be 9:30.
That's the site visit.
Yeah, that's the site.
So that still
yeah.
Take place at that time.
Yeah. So we'll wait for the agenda to come out.
Yes. Thank you,
I think that concludes the meeting.
Is it?
Is it?
Train? Not train?